has joined.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Are you the first?
I think so.
Also here.
Okay. Oh. Well, it plays music, so I guess it's hard to tell. I came on it 2 minutes after. So, and it said, wait for the moderator. So, you know, I don't know that you can tell anymore if you're first or not.
I guess that's true. I have to figure that out, I guess. Because I don't know how many people are on.
Well, it's not an important thing.
Well, I'm glad there are at least two of you on so we can start.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and mute.
All right. We'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kud shabarichu ishkin te bidkilu urchimu utkilu utkilu urchimu. Le'akta l'shem yudhe bovavhe. L'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. L'imud Torah mitzvah. L'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayehino amadunai Elohino alena maaseya deno kunene alena maaseya deno kunenehu. You will find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 6, the third column from the left. When that landing page opens up, it has a list of all of the parashas. If you scroll to the bottom, you'll see all of the different chapters of the book of Joshua. Today we will be studying chapter 18. When that opens up, the first link you see opens up the Mechon Mamre so that we can be studying the 28 verses, as we'll come to understand there's 28 verses in chapter 18. So when the Mechon Mamre link opens up the page, scroll down to chapter 18. And I am reading the first paragraph where I've indicated there's 28 verses in this chapter. And the number 28 connects to the Hebrew word koah, which translates as strength or power. And I think you'll find that that's relating to the energy of this chapter. Now I'm going to be reading the first verse of chapter 18. Vayikachalu kol avat b'nei Yisrael
has joined.
Yashkinu shamet ohel moed v'haaretz nikpisa shalifneihem. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled themselves together at Shiloh and set up the tent of meeting there. And the land was subdued before them. Now, the land has not been fully conquered. But as part of the process of conquering the land, it is a step-by-step process. And so they set up the temple or the Mishkan in Shiloh. Now, Shiloh, when spelled properly, which is Shin Yud Lamed He, has a gematria that is exactly the same as Moshe, exactly the same as Hashem. But you'll find that in this word, in this verse, Shiloh is not spelled completely. There's no Yud there. And there's also no Vav. The second verse. Vayivatru bivne Yisrael asher lo kalku et nachalatam shiva shivatim. And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. It was indicating that the land had not been completely conquered. There were still other nations settling on the land. Verse 3. Vayomer Yehoshua el Bnei Israel Adana Atem Mitrafipin Lavo Lareshet Et haaretz asher natan lachem Adonai yohei wahei Adanu yo yo ahei dawanu heyo Elohei avotechem. And Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go in to possess the land which the Hashem, the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? As a leader, Joshua should have made these plans, but he is saying that the tribes had no real desire to conquer the land. That's not exactly what it says, and I shouldn't say that about any of the children of Israel. But what was the reason that the children hadn't conquered the land yet? Was it the leader's fault, or is it the follower's fault? Verse 4.
Has joined.
Appoint for you three men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall arise and walk through the land and describe it according to their inheritance, and they shall come unto me. So why did he send 21 people? Because the three men of each tribe needed to walk the land that their tribe was going to inherit, so they could give a report to the tribe and excite them about conquering the land. At least that would be my guess. Verse 5. And he'd chaleku ota l'shiva chalakim. Yehuda yamod al gevulo minegev uveit Yosef yamdu al gevulam mitzapon. And they shall divide it into seven portions, Judah shall abide in his border on the south, and the house of Joseph shall abide in their border on the north. But the tribes have already been given their portions. So what is really Joshua saying here? Verse 6. Lahem goral po livne Adonai yo he wahe adanu yo yo ahe dawanu heyo Eloheinu. And ye shall describe the land into seven portions, and bring the description hither to me, and I will cast lots for you here before Hashem our God. Is he recasting the lots, or were these tribes not apportioned in the earlier Goral? Verse 7. Ki Halek La Levi. Bakir Bechem Kikehudat Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yo Ahe Dawanu Heyo Nahalato Wigaduru Ben Vahati Shevet Hamnashe Lahu Nahalatam Mever la Yarden Mizracha Asher Natan Lahem Moshe Evet Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo. For the Levites have no portion among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. And Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond the Jordan eastward, which Moses, the servant of Hashem, gave them. Verse 8. Vayakumu Ha'anashim v'yeleku v'yitzav Yehoshua
has joined.
L'itov et ha'aretz l'emor l'ku v'hit halku v'aretz l'kit v'o ta v'shuvu elai w'fo ashlik Lahem goralife Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo the Shiloh. And the men arose and went, and Joshua charged them that went to describe the land, saying, go and walk through the land and describe it, and come back to me, and I will cast lots for you here before the Lord in Shiloh. But this is what it said before, so why does it need to repeat itself? Verse 9. Vayelku anashim layavru varet layitevu ha learim l'shiva halakim al sefer vayavu el And the men went and passed through the land and described it by cities into seven portions in a book. And they came to Joshua unto the camp at Shiloh. Vayashlech lachem Yehoshua goral b'shilo lifnei Adonai Yohei Wahei Adanu Yo Yohei Dawanu Hei Yo Vayachalek Sham Yehoshua et haaretz Livne Israel Kimach Lechotam. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before Hashem. And there Joshua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to their divisions. And the lot of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up according to their families, and the border of their lot went out between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph. Verse 12. Vayehi lachem hagedul ifatafona min hayarden v'yala hagbul el ketef Yericho mitzafon v'yala v'har yama v'haya v'hayu. Tototav midbara betawin. And their border on the north side was from the Jordan, and the border went up to the side of Jericho on the north, and went up along the hill country westward. And the goings out thereof were at the wilderness of Beth Aven. You'll notice that there is a word that's written differently than it sounds. It's written with the hey at the end, but it's spelled with the vav at the end, or it's sounded out with the vav at the end. And it actually has the letters of Hashem's name. Verse 13. We are Misham Hagul Luza El Ketef Luza Negba Hiyo Beit El Vayarad Hagul Atrot Adar Adar. and the border passed along from thence to Luz, to the side of Luz, the same as Bethel, southward. And the border went down to Atrot Adar, by the mountain that lies on the south of Bet-Horon, the nether. And this is essentially describing certain border locations, certain boundaries, but it's not telling us what tribe is receiving all of this. Verse 14. Utar hagavu vinasav lifat yam negba min hahar asher alpane beit horon negba vehayu totota vel kiryat baal hiyo kiryat yarim ir bene yehuda Zot Beat Yam. And the border was drawn and turned about on the west side, southward, from the mountain that lies before Bet-Horon, southward. And the goings out thereof were at Kiryat Baal, the same as Kiryat Yerarim, a city of the children of Judah. And this was the west side. But if you look at the last three words in the Hebrew, it says the zot is there, meaning this, but the last two words, the last word is yam, which would be a sea. And then it's connected to the word peat, the mouth of the Shekhinah, because the letters Aleph to Taf are there. So this translation doesn't really explain properly. But I'm sure it is correct from the standpoint of what the essence of the description is, the land is being divided. Ufat Negba Mitze Kiryat Yarim Vyatza Agvu Yama Vyatza El Mayan Meneftoa. And the south side was from the uttermost part of Kiryat Yarim, and the border went out westward and went out to the fountain of the waters of Nephtoah. And verse 16.
V'yarad ha-gevul el kitze ha-har asher al-pnei ge-ben chinom asher be'emek rifayim tafona v'yarad ge-hinom el ketef ha-evusi Negba v'yarad en rogel.
And the border went down to the uttermost part of the mountain that lies before the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is in the vale of Rephaim northward. And it went down to the valley of Hinnom to the side of the Jebusite southward and went down to En Rogel. Verse 17.
Witar mitzafon b'yatza en shemesh v'yatza el gelilot asher nokach male adumim v'yarat even bohan ben reuven.
And it was drawn on the north and went out at En Shemesh and went out to Gilead, which is over against the ascent of Adumim. And it went down to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben. Verse 18. Weavar el ketef mu ha'arava tafona vayarad ha'aravata. And it passed along to the side over against the Araba northward, and went down unto the Araba. Verse 19. V'avar ha'gbul el ketef beit hagla tafona v'chayu ha'tzotzot ha'gbul el lishon yam ha'mela tafona El Kitfe Hayardain Negbaze Gevul Negev. And the border passed along to the side of Bet Hogla and northward, and the goings out of the border were at the north bay of the Salt Sea, at the south end of the Jordan, and this was the south border. Verse 20. Where Hayarden Yigbol Oto Lifat Kidma Zot Nahalat Bene Binyamin Ligvul Oteha Saviv Le Mishpechotam. And the Jordan was to be the border of it on the east side. And this was the inheritance of the children of Benjamin by the borders thereof round about, according to their families. Verse 21. V'chayu ha'arim limate b'nei binyamin l'mishpechotechem yericho uveit hagla v'emeketitz. Now the cities of the tribe of the children of Benjamin, according to their families, were Jericho, Beth Hagla, and Emek Kitziz. Verse 22. Uveta Rava Usmarayim Uvetel. And Beth Arava, Araba, and Zimarim, and Betel. Verse 23. Behavim u'chapara v'afra, and Aviv and Para and Ofra. Verse 24. Ukfar ha'amona v'ha'afmi v'agava arim shetem esre v'chatzrehen. And Kephar, Amona, and Ophni, and Geba, 12 cities with their villages. Verse 25. Yivon v'harama uveirot, Gibeon and Rama and Beirot. Verse 26. V'ha mitzpe v'hakpira v'ha motza, and mizpe and chef and Moza. Verse 27. Berekim v'irpel v'tarala, and Rekim and Erpil and Tarala. V'tzela he'alef v'haivusi hiyo Yerushalayim givat kiryat arim arba esrei v'chatzrehen zot nachalat b'nei binyamin l'mishpechotam. And Zela, Eleph, and Jebusite, the same in Jerusalem, Gibeat and Kiriat, 14 cities with their villages. And this is the inheritance of the children of Benjamin according to their families. Essentially, I'm confused by this chapter. It's telling us the borders of the tribe of Benjamin, and that Benjamin is between Judah and Ephraim, or Judah and the children of Joseph. But why did it need to go through the discussion about sending the 21 men to scout out the land? Let us read the commentator, and maybe that will explain it. We're starting reading at Shiloh, which is verse 1. And all the assembly of the children of Israel gathered to Shiloh and set up there the tent of meeting. This was 14 years after their entry into the land. The 14 years consisted of 7 years of conquest and 7 more in dividing up the land. And all this time, the tent of meeting made by Moses in the wilderness had stood in Gilgal, their first encampment, and crossing the Jordan. Establishing the sanctuary in Shiloh signified more settled times, and the land was conquered before them. Rashi comments, from the time the sanctuary was established, the land became easy for them to conquer. The sanctuary remained in Shiloh for a total of 369 years, until the time of Eli, the high priest, when the Philistines sacked it and took the ark. Shiloh was in the territory of Joseph. It was predestined that the sanctuary and the two temples should stand only in the territories of Rachel's two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. And this is why in Genesis, it says that on their reconciliation in Egypt, Joseph fell on the necks of Benjamin, the Hebrew plural signifying the two temples. While Benjamin wept on Joseph's neck, the singular alludes to the sanctuary in Shiloh. And this is a very nice explanation. And it's a very nice hinting at the two future temples and the one Mishkan that would be settled in the land in this way. With the conquest of the land in progress, the enterprise of turning the land of Israel into the light of the nations was still incomplete. And this was signified in the structure of the sanctuary in Shiloh. Our text here calls it a tent because the roof was made of skins, as in the case of the wilderness sanctuary. However, the walls of Shiloh were stone, unlike those of the wilderness sanctuary, which were made of gold-coated wood. It would only be in Jerusalem, the place of the temple forever, that the roof of the temple would also be of stone. We have read similar words before in different places. It explained that the Mishkan went through a metamorphosis in its roof. In the desert, it had no true roof. And then in Shiloh, it had a roof of skins. And ultimately, when it reached Jerusalem, it was built with a stone roof. The sanctuary in Shiloh will figure in several important passages in the book of Judges,
and particularly in the early part of Samuel, dealing with Eli and Hannah. The reference in our text today is Shiloh makes a fitting start to the chapter delineating the tribal inheritance of Benjamin, the youngest son of Jacob's beloved wife, Rachel. Nestling as it did between the two great tribes of Judah to the south and Ephraim to the north. We see from today's text and subsequent chapters that the territories of the different tribes sometimes entered into one another. Similarly, in the human body, the different limbs and organs are closely interconnected and enter into one another. And I am adding, Shiloh is a code word. When spelled with a yud after the shin, its gematria is 345, which equals the name of Moshe, who is the Redeemer. I mentioned that earlier. But Shiloh is very much connected to redemption. And redemption really means the conquering of the land of Israel. This is the end of our study of chapter 18. We could go back and count words and letters. And I would recommend that you do that for some of these. Let your intuition be your guide. You will find it helpful. Does anybody have any questions? I hope you have a beautiful afternoon. Remind you that there's a Deep Zohar class starting at 4:30 and the Ari class at 7 p.m. These are West Coast time periods. Shalom Gadol to everyone. Shalom to all.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.